and my gadgets. I don't know if I'd know what to do if I didn't have a gadget close by. Amy saw a meme on Facebook that showed a guy that was crawling out of a coffin, and he said, oops, I forgot my phone. She said that she saved that just especially for me. You know, there was a young boy one time, and he was on fire for the Lord, and he was excited because him and his dad were going to get to go on a weekend camping trip. He was a little disappointed because he was going to miss church on Sunday, and he said to his dad, let's find a church to go to where we're out camping. And the dad wasn't real excited about that. He was wanting to go away and just relax and maybe do some fishing and things like that. But the little boy kept pressing. And the dad kind of put him off. Well, if we find a church out that way, then we'll see about doing it. He didn't make that promise. And so as they got close to the campground that they were going to, lo and behold, there was a church. Now, if I was to say that the father was excited about that, I'd be telling a fib. Sunday morning got there, the little boy got up, shook his dad, wake up, dad, we gotta go to church. Oh, it's a good day to sleep in, son. No, we gotta go to church. Dad said, well, okay, he realized that the son wasn't gonna give in. And so they got up and they went to church, and they sat there, and when it got time to pass the offering plate, the boy said to his dad, praise God, praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, thank you, Jesus. That's right.
Come time to pass the offering plate, and the boy nudged his dad and said, Dad, give me some money. I've got to put money in the offering plate. And the dad said, I didn't even bring my wallet. Dad, we got to put something in the offering plate. So the dad started digging into his pockets deep, and he found a dime. And he, well, that's good enough. And he handed it to the boy, and the boy put it in the offering plate. Got done with the service, started to walk out, and immediately the dad started to grumble. Sermon was too long. The pews were hard. Everything he could think of, he grumbled about. And the little boy looked up at his dad and said, what do you expect for a dime? What do you expect for a dime? No sin too great is the title of the sermon today. No sin too great. I originally was going to name this sermon, What is Your Sin? But then I thought maybe people would think the focus was about what they've done wrong. The focus is that you're not different than anybody all time. We're going to look at several stories of mighty people in the Bible who sinned and fell short of the glory of God. And I know that the message today is for every single one of you. And you know how I know that?
We've all sinned.
Because we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is nothing that you have done that would cause Jesus not to love you. Do you realize that?
Yes, that's right.
Nothing that you have done would take the love of Christ away from you. And if you look in the book of John, chapter 8, we see a story that says, now early in the morning he came, being Jesus, again into the temple. And all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. That's a pretty bad sin, isn't it? In the Old Testament times, that sin got you death. Got you death.
Yes.
And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, in the very act. You get this? It wasn't just an accusation. She was caught in the act of adultery. Now Moses in law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? They were trying to trick Jesus here. This, they said, testing him, that they may have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." And again he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone with and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus is... Next slide. "Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." And then we're just going to cut it off right there. Go and sin no more. Wherever you are in your walk, this lady, her walk was, it was terrible. She'd been caught in adultery. And there may be people in here today that sin is part of what your past is. And notice that I said what your past is, because that is behind you. We can't do anything about that past, but we have a God, we have a Savior who doesn't look at our past. He knows what you have in front of you. He knows what He wants for you and what He longs for in your life, and there is no sin that will take that away from Him.
Amen.
Let's look at the next scripture. The Apostle Paul, formerly Saul of Tarsus, in the book of 1 Timothy said this, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief." There is probably no more despicable of a human being than Saul of Tarsus. Do you realize that? He persecuted Christians in a way that we can't even fathom today. You see, Paul, who was Saul at that time, was a very learned man. He knew the law inside and out. If you wanted to know what was in the Old Testament law, Saul was the man that you went to see. And this Christianity stuff didn't meet up with what he saw and what he believed. This man stood over and witnessed and basically oversaw the stoning of Stephen. And he still didn't give in. He saw Stephen sit there and say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Didn't face Saul. Who's next? Who am I going to persecute next? But then he went on that road to Damascus. That wonderful road to Damascus. And he had a conversion like maybe no other.
Yes.
It's famous just in the conversion. But that's not even the best part of the story. Paul, who is now Paul instead of Saul, went into Damascus, and he got his act together because he gave his life to the Lord. And Paul wrote the biggest part of the New Testament. You think that God can't use you? Have you overseen a murder? Saul did, and he became Paul, and he dug deep, and he was convicted of his sins, and he went out, and in the scripture that we just said, he was given mercy. The mercy of our Savior. King David. I thought Rob was going to preach my sermon for me down here just a second ago, because he was listing all of these people that I was getting ready to talk about. And I was going to say, just keep going, Rob. Just keep going. Let the Holy Spirit flood this. You feel the presence of the Holy Spirit this morning?
Yeah.
I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit this morning.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
There's nothing like the presence of the Holy Spirit, folks. If you got that feeling in the bottom of your your stomach this morning that says, he's preaching to me. I am. I am. Because he is. You see, we're going to stop right now and we're going to pray. And we're going to pray that God will touch you this morning. And if you've got that feeling in the pit of your stomach, this altar is the place for you. At any time during this sermon, at any time ever, this altar is open and is for you. Father God in heaven, I thank you for this day and I thank you for this subject. Father, the love that you have for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And as I continue on in this sermon, Father, I pray that you would get me out of the way and that you would take over and that you would speak through me, Father, not my words, but your words. Not my will, but your will. And Father, if there is somebody in this house today that needs to know your Son, Jesus, as their Lord and Savior, I pray right now, Father God, that they would get up and come up here and give their life to you. I pray that at any time during this sermon that they would get up and come up here and give their life to you, because sermons can be held off. Spirit leading people to the Lord can't be held off. Today is the day of salvation, Father, and we thank you for Jesus, and we pray in his name, and everybody said,
amen.
King David, we're going to go back to adultery and murder again. King David, a man after God's own heart, was guilty of both. He looked up from his rooftop and he saw Bathsheba. And in today's words, she was fine.
Yeah.
She was fine. Being powerful, he said to his servants, go get that woman.
Yeah.
And had her brought to him. Now never mind that Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, was off into battle and fighting in the military. Where's my military girl back there?
Yeah.
How about us veterans? Do we appreciate somebody that's going in to serve?
Yes.
And how about all of us?
Yes.
Do we appreciate somebody that's going in to serve? Let me just tell you, you are going to see things, you're going to do things, and you're going to learn things that are going to stick with you the rest of your life. Forever and ever, they are going to be with you. Embrace that time. Know that you are one of the best, because God loves you.
Yes.
And he loves a faithful servant.
Yes, thank you.
Serve God first, and then serve your country. Thank you for raising your hand and taking that oath. And that oath never goes away. King David had an affair with Bathsheba. And it got worse after that. It got worse after an affair. Do you see where I'm going with all these people? There's nothing that you've done that is worse than what these wonderful people of the Bible, these great people of the Bible did. He had Uriah brought in, and he wanted Uriah to sleep with his wife so that it would kind of take the pressure off of King David. Uriah would think that the baby that was conceived was his. But Uriah decided that because of his brothers that were out in battle, that he would not go into his house and enjoy the luxuries of leave. There you go, veterans. Uriah was on leave, and he said, my brothers are out there fighting for their lives. I'm not going to do something that is for my benefit. And David continued to try and try, and Uriah didn't give in to temptation. He was sent back to the battlefield with instructions from David to the servants that were accompanying Uriah, that Uriah was to be killed. That's really, really, really paraphrasing.
Yes. It's true.
Uriah was sent to the front lines and was tricked by his commander-in-chief That's what David was. David was the commander in chief, and he was tricked, and all the other troops fell back, and Uriah was killed by the enemy because of David's sin. Have you done something so bad in your life that compares to that? How about the Apostle Peter in the book of Mark? Mark 14 says this. Now, as Peter was blown below in the courtyard, one of the serving girls of the high priest came. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also were with Jesus of Nazareth." But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you are saying." And he went out on the porch, and a rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by, "This is one of them." But he denied it again, and a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, "Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech shows it." But he began to curse and swear, "I do not know this man of whom you speak." A second time the rooster crowed. Then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And when he thought about it, he wept. Peter was, as Rob said earlier, was one of Jesus' closest advisors and friends. He, along with James and John, went everywhere with Jesus.
Yes.
Excuse me. He went everywhere with Jesus. And you know what? Let's use a modern term. He stabbed Jesus in the back. I don't know him. Just a little bit before, he was trying to convince Jesus, "Oh, I'll never forsake you. I'll never deny you." Jesus knew. And what Jesus knew came true. Peter went on to be the rock on which the church was built. You see, he denied Christ. And I'm going to guess that everyone in here at some time in their life has denied Christ. "I don't know him. I don't want to know him." Whatever it is in your life that you said, "I'm not good enough to know him. You don't know what I've done." Look at Peter. Look at Paul. Look at David. And let's look at the next one. How about this one? Rahab was a prostitute. Rahab was a prostitute. In James chapter 2, verses 24 through 26, it says this. "You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? And as for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead." Now I don't want you to get confused here. Faith is essential. It's essential to our lives. But faith alone does not work.
Right.
You get that? Faith alone does not work. You can sit in a pew and have faith.
Yeah.
But do something.
Right.
Do something. Lift, if it's no more than lifting your hands up to the Lord and saying, "Thank you for all that you've done for me." Do something. Faith without works is dead. And Rahab, a prostitute, had faith, but she put that faith to work.
Yes.
Have you done something worse than being a prostitute? I really doubt you have. But maybe you have, and it still doesn't matter. We've talked about prostitution. We've talked about murder. We've talked about adultery. You can list any of the sins that come from the Bible that is spoken out about, and God will forgive you. I'm not saying can forgive you. He will forgive you if you repent. That's all it takes. You come up here, you say, "I've sinned." You got to acknowledge that you sinned, because we all have.
Yes.
"I've sinned. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I want to turn my life over to you." That's called repenting. But there's more to that. There's people that have repented over and over and over that are not saved.
Right.
I'm sorry. There's people that have asked for forgiveness over and over and are not saved.
Yes.
Because they didn't repent. You know what repent means? You ask for forgiveness and then you turn around and you go the opposite way that you've been going.
Amen.
You can't just ask for forgiveness and keep sinning and sinning and sinning.
Right.
Now that doesn't mean that you aren't going to fall at certain times. But that mighty God that we have and that love of our Savior Jesus Christ will reach down and lift you up even if you fall astray. And there's people in here today. I'm going to guess. No, I know. There are people in here today who has fallen astray. And they need Jesus back in their life. You know what? Jesus never left.
Right.
You did. You did.
How about the parable, the parable of the prodigal son? And we know that in this parable, the father represents God.
And his son went out. And, well, let's read what he did. After he had squandered his inheritance, which he didn't deserve, by the way.
Yeah, that's right.
He didn't deserve that inheritance. His father was still alive. But he asked anyway.
Luke chapter 15 says this, after he had squandered his inheritance,
but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And maybe that's where you are today. Maybe you feel like I'm so far down that I have to be a servant. And not a servant like what we talk about, what Rob was talking about, asking you to serve the church. He's talking about stooping down to the level of a plain and ordinary servant that took care of other people. Stoop down is what he looked at it as. We wouldn't look at that today as stooping down, but he did. You see, his father was a rich man. Our father is a rich man.
Good.
Forgive the term man because he's way more than man. But he is rich. And if we were to continue on, it would tell us that this lost son, as he came back, that father ran out and greeted him. Do you understand that? That is God that will run out and greet you once you have done what this son did and acknowledged that you've done wrong and turned away from your evil ways and give your life back to him. And you know what? There's going to be some people that look at you and say, well, that's not fair because I know what that person did. I know that person has sinned in a mighty way, just like all these other people that we've talked about. And you know what? The father will say to them, like he said to the older brother, you've been with me here this whole time, but my youngest son had sinned and fallen short, but now he had come back. You know that if you give your life to the Lord today, that there will be angels in heaven rejoicing. Think about that. You are known by the angels in heaven who are going to rejoice that you have given your life to the Lord. That's a pretty big thing, don't you think? God knows you and loves you. He knows your name. He knows everything about you. And he wants you to be with him for all of eternity.
How about the lady at the well? John 4, 16 through 18 said,
Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one who you now have is not your husband. In that you speak truly.
Yeah.
I don't usually drink so much during this, but I'm dry today. Woo! You have been in a bad place. Maybe you have been through a divorce.
Maybe you have been through more than one divorce. I'm not proud of this. I've been through a divorce. I had to ask for forgiveness. Life's different now. I'm happily married to Amy, and I thank God that He brought her into my life. But this woman had been divorced, had five husbands. And to me that says she's been divorced five times, so she's with another man now, and he's not even her husband. Maybe you've been divorced a bunch of times, and you think, well, God isn't going to give me any attention because I'm awful. Look, I failed five times. Maybe you're living with somebody like she was here. She was with a man that wasn't her husband. You see where I'm going with this, folks? There's nothing that you can do that God can't forgive you of. There's one sin, and that's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. That basically means turning your back on God and not acknowledging who He is. Do you realize that's the only thing that you can't be forgiven of? And, you know, it's almost impossible for that to happen. Because you can turn your back on God, but then you can turn back around, and then that's not blasphemy. You know that God is God. There is nothing that you can do that will take you away from the love of God. Just like the prodigal son. He went and did horrible things, but the Father loved him all the way through it. Our Father loves you all the way through, wherever you've been, wherever you are right now. Maybe you think that right now, I'm in such a terrible place. We didn't talk about drunkards or addictions or anything like that. Guess what? God can forgive you. God can save you. He can take that addiction and make it go away.
Yep.
Do you believe me? Christian brothers and sisters, do you believe me?
Yep.
God can take that and He can make it in your past to never come back again. He can put brothers and sisters in your life that are going to encourage you and tell you, you don't have to live that way.
Right. Yeah.
God will work through you, but He will work through the people that are close to you if you surround yourself with the right people. Let me give you this warning. If you're in that condition, if you know somebody in that condition, they've got to separate themselves from the bad.
Yep, right.
You can't be addicted to drugs, alcohol, whatever you fill in the blank, and go back around that stuff. If you're an alcoholic, you probably better not hang around at the bars.
Yep. Good.
If you're addicted to drugs, you better not hang out with your dealer.
Yeah.
I'm getting real here now, folks. You've got to separate yourself. But God loves you right where you are today. Put Him as first in your life instead of drugs. Put Him first in your life instead of alcohol. You know, we can mention any number of sins because none are greater than the others in the eyes of God. Sin, what does sin do, folks?
Destroys you.
Destroys you. What does it do with your relationship with God? Separates you, doesn't it? That's what sin does. But our God loves us so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him should not perish and have everlasting life. Do you realize how much love that is? Would anyone in here be willing to sacrifice one of their children? It's quiet when you talk about that, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Let's see who God can use. All of these aren't sins, but they're all things that people would use as excuses not to serve God. Noah was a drunk. Abraham was too old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Leah was ugly. Joseph was abused. Moses had a stuttering problem. Gideon was afraid. Samson was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. Jeremiah and Timothy were too young. David was an adulterer and a murderer. Elijah was suicidal. Isaiah preached naked. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow. Job went bankrupt. John the Baptist ate bugs. And Peter denied Christ. That covers a lot of things, doesn't it?
That covers a lot, yes.
Every one of those were wonderful men and women of God. Yes. After they turned their life around.
Praise the Lord.
After they turned their life around. You don't know what God has in store for you. Look what he did through David.
Yes.
Jesus is from the line of David.
Yes,
do you get that?
Yes.
Maybe you give your life to the Lord today, and your grandson somewhere down the line becomes the next Billy Graham.
Yes.
Do you get that? We read Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We pray to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Yep, that's right.
They weren't worthy, but our God is worthy.
Yes.
God is worthy. I want the very best for you. There's people in here today that I've never met until today. I couldn't tell you your name if somebody walked up with $1 million and said, here, tell me her name. Tell me his name. Take that money back, because I don't know.
Yeah.
But I want the very best for you. I want the very best for everyone. In my podcast, back in the old days, I was called a podcast politics from a Christian perspective. I shy away from politics more so now. I still give my opinion because that's part of what I do, is I give opinions. But I preach and I teach and I interview good Christian men and women. But back in the old days, I used to say, I pray for Osama bin Laden. I said, what a testimony that would be. Osama bin Laden would give his life to Christ.
Yeah.
And you know, it was possible.
Yes, it was possible.
It was possible. Not anymore. He's dead. Put up the last verse for me, if you will. Job. Listen to this. Listen. Behold, God works all these things. Twice, in fact. Three times with a man to bring back his soul from the pit that he might be enlightened with the light of life. Let me look that up. I think there's something there I wanted that is different. And technology is so good. My computer's dead. Put that back up if you will. You know, God's good. I have a hard time finding verses in my Bible because the print is so big that it spreads my Bible way out. And sometimes it takes me a couple of minutes, and I'm right here already. Job 33, behold, God works in these things twice, three times with a man to bring back his soul from the pit that he may be enlightened with the light. The version that I had on my computer that is gone said that God gives you a chance over and over and over. Do you get that? Maybe you deserve to be dead. Maybe you went through something that could have cost you your life. Maybe you know that God was the only reason that you came through a situation. And you got a second chance. And then maybe you turned your back on the Lord again. And you got a third chance. It doesn't matter where you've been. It matters where you're going. It matters where you're going. Is it the easiest road? No. Sometimes that road is crooked. And the Bible says it's narrow.
Yeah, very narrow.
The road is narrow. But God never leaves you and never forsakes you. He's got the ultimate GPS system. Do you realize that? He can navigate where nothing else can navigate. He can get you through things that nothing else can get you through. But you've got to acknowledge Him. You've got to ask for forgiveness. You've got to turn from your ways. And today is that day. Don't wait for tomorrow. I have a hard time not preaching a sermon without talking about Jane. And if you've heard me preach, you probably heard this story. I greeted Jamie at the door at the end of the service. And Jamie was a hugging, loving young lady. I think she was 27 years old. And Jamie gave me a hug, which she always did, but she did something different. She kissed me on the cheek and she said, "I love you, Pastor Ed." Less than 12 hours later, she flipped her car and Jamie went to be with Jesus. You see, we don't know what tomorrow holds. Fortunately, Jamie was right with the Lord. That night in the service, she was up praising and dancing. She was Dawn, you know, she was Dawn up here. And I never will forget the song, "I Can Only Imagine." You know, the movie that was just out. If you haven't seen it, you got to see it. If you haven't seen it, get with me. I'll make sure that you see it. She was back there praising the "I Can Only Imagine." You know, that song's not new. No. This happened 10 years ago. And she was praising, "I can only imagine what it'll be like." She was right with the Lord. So she went to be with the Lord.
Yes.
But I don't say things to scare you. I don't believe in that. But sometimes it works. You don't know if you're the next Jane. You don't know if your car's going to flip tomorrow. And I say that because I love you. And I want to be with you in heaven.
Yes.
What a day that'll be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. And when he takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. If you've got a song, let's play the song. Today is the day that God has set aside for you. It's not because of me. It's not because of the sermon I preach. It's because God loves you. And he's just like the Father in the story of the prodigal son. He's coming out to meet you. But you got to step out just like that son and start toward him. And I promise you, he'll greet you right here at the altar as you give your life to him.